Okay, so the day is August 27th, 2019, and this interview is with Paul Vossen. And I know Paul has an awful lot of memories from back then, but usually I just try to get you started with where you were with your parents and grade school and all that, going into high school. Paul, where did that get started?
I went to St. Joseph's at Cincinnati grade school, and then I went to Lawrence Academy. As a freshman, I'm a country boy from way out there, and going to Lawrence Academy with some boarders there from Chicago and Los Angeles, I was like a fish out of water. Don Amici's son, Don Amici, was in my class. He was a boarder.
Okay.
And there were guys from Chicago that were boarders, and that was a whole different realm of things.
You bet.
But
pardon me? When you went to the academy.
Yes.
What year was that?
Oh, 52. Oh. 48. 48. And graduated in 52. And that first year I wanted to quit.
Okay.
Because it was at a stage where not everybody had to go to high school.
Yep.
But mother said, oh, why don't you just stick it out for this year and it'll get better. Well, I did. And then I went to Loras College, and then I had 20 years of teaching.
Okay.
So
who were some of your teachers back at the academy?
Father Tarrant, Father Vogel.
I remember him.
And he was, if he didn't get to heaven right away, nobody will.
Yeah, okay.
Father Grace. Oh yeah, Father Grace.
Okay.
Did you ever have him?
No, I don't think I ever had him.
You went to Loras Academy?
No, I went to Loras College.
Okay. Well, he wasn't at the college.
I started out. My folks were tenant farmers around Olwine, and they eventually, fortunately for me, bought a farm up by Sumner, Iowa. And I went from country school to a good high school. And then I don't know, I think my mother wanted me to be a priest and go to Loras College, so that's what I did. Anyway, I'm glad I did. But so anyway, so you moved in on to Loras College?
Yes, and I went to Loras College. Father Vogel was my advisor. And you're talking about priesthood. I took all the courses the first year, and the second year I decided this probably isn't the way I wanted to go, so I got into education. Father Vogel tried to talk me into continuing the line of the priesthood, but that Latin was something that...
Yeah, I remember that.
And I thought, oh, man. So, anyhow, I got into the teaching and graduated. It took me 5 years. It took a year off to make some money to pay the expenses.
Where'd you do your student teaching?
At Loras Academy.
Okay.
Yeah. And... from then, I graduated from Loras in 57, went out to Sacred Heart High School in Waterloo, and I was there 2 years. First year, we were not married.
What was your first salary, remember?
My first what?
Salary, how much you got paid.
Oh, I remember that. $3,600.
Yep.
And I had a full line of courses to teach, the whole deal. And Father Barnes was the baseball coach in the fall, and I was his assistant. I came along for basketball my first year, and he said, why don't you take it over? So I had helped him with fall baseball, and then had the basketball and spring baseball, $3,600.
Yep.
But the next year, I had an increase to $4,000.
Oh, okay.
But that fall, Father Raftus and I were the first coaches for Columbus High School.
Really? Okay.
Of course.
Dwayne Raftus?
Yes.
I remember him. Okay.
And, of course, these kids were all in the high schools, Sacred Heart and OLVA and St. Mary's. St. Mary's had a football program, but OLVA and Sacred Heart did not. So we, unofficially, were the first coaches at Columbus, even though we were still at our other schools. But they got the uniforms and they had all the pads and the whole thing. So we could officially say we were the first coaches at Columbus ever.
Was that like 1960 or?
That was, 1958, 58, 59.
Okay.
And then the next year, Columbus opened, so all three of those schools closed. And they only took one layperson from the three schools who happened to be the football coach at St. Mary's.
Okay.
The rest of us looked for another job. So we got a job up at DeSales in Osha. Art Anchor was there at the time.
Yeah.
And we were there 3 years. While we were there, Art was a baseball and basketball coach. I helped coach the juniors, elementary school, and Art was short of umpires.
Okay.
So he said, Paul, we need umpires. So I got certified with the Iowa High School Athletic Association and started umpiring. And he would pitch batting practice and I would umpire. So if I was off, you know, it was terrific training with him. I mean, a tremendous pitcher.
Oh, yeah, wow.
So, anyhow, we were there 3 years.
What was yours? How much were you paid up there, do you remember?
Up there, I don't remember. It was in the 4,000 something.
Well, see, but I graduated from Loris in 61, and I got hired at Protivin at Rudolphin High School, and I got paid $3,700 my first year.
But, you know, gas was 24 cents a gallon, and bread was a quarter of something. I mean, we had an apartment in Waterloo, and electricity and heat were furnished. I don't remember telephone or not. And we had a garage, $40 a month.
Okay.
So.
Yep.
And then when we moved to Austin, I think it was about $40 for rent, and we had a garage across the street from the dentist. We could use that garage if I painted it. So I thought, that's a good deal.
Okay.
You do what you can do. So we were there the fall of 59, and we were there 3 years.
Was that about the time Jim Rima showed up? Or?
Yes. Art was there the first 2 years, and then Jim Rima was there in 58-59 school year.
Okay.
So you knew Jim?
Yes. So were you in charge of restraining him on the bench?
Oh my. He was something. But we did have the second year I was there, the fall tournament, baseball tournament. Art was umpiring. We had a really good team, and we were in the finals of the fall baseball tournament.
Right. Art's told me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. I mean, the guys just were, they played terrific.
Yeah. Where was that at, or where'd you have to go?
It was St. John's Bancroft, if I remember right.
Is that where you had to go to play?
Yeah, I think so.
That was a ways.
Yeah, well, you know, and at that time, St. John's Bancroft had a terrific athletic program, baseball.
Vince Meyer?
Yeah.
He was a coach, so. Yeah.
Yep. So then we came back here. Her parents were thinking about retiring and needed help, so we came back here after the school year of 62. And I went out to West Dubuque and talked to them about a position, and they didn't need anybody full-time, just part-time. So I started teaching there in the fall of 62.
Okay.
And had Latin.
Really?
Well, I could teach language, English. But, I mean, these are freshmen. They do nothing about it, yeah. So you can
get by.
Get by, yes. And geography. And I think maybe I had one history class. But then I had three classes of history.
Okay.
Just the morning.
Okay.
And, when did you start there?
I left Provo and I went down to Bellevue Marquette for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And the next year I came to St. Joseph Farley. So that put me in the area. I was at St. Joseph for 6 years.
Mm.
And that last year was spring of 70, and I had gotten my master's. They didn't want to pay me. I didn't know where I was going, and somebody said, check with Wayne Drexler. The timing was right because they were starting up a shared time program in Dyersville, and they needed somebody, so that turned out to be me. So that's how I got connected into West Dubuque, and fortunately for me, and transitioned through, you know, elementary, right. Junior high, and ended up with Wickham for a few years, and learned a few tricks from him. and then moved up when Buck left. I took over as the athletic director and whatever. So, how about other staff that were there when you were there?
When I started in the fall, there was Kilberg, Don Shield, Tom Wickham. Don Herbson, I think, came at the semester.
Helen Williams, is she there?
Yes.
Yeah, Helen.
In fact, we had a camper, now a mobile home, up here north of the house. And when her folks moved to town, we sold to Helen.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, she was, in fact, she went to Europe one time on a trip, and she came back, and she said, she was at a dairy farm in Holland, the Netherlands, and she said that one of the stops was at this dairy farm, and she said, he could have been your twin brother. She said, he looked just like you, he talked like you, he laughed like you. She said, it's unreal.
Okay.
And let's see, Jody Wiggins.
I remember her, yep.
Was there.
Edie Rice.
Is that?
Edie Rice. So she was a home ec person.
I think she was there when, yeah. I was trying to think. Yeah, she was. Don Shields. Tom Kilberg. I don't know if he came, if he was there when I first started.
I think he said he came about 65 or so.
Yeah. Wick. Don Shield. Mike Coffey. I remember when Mike came.
Yeah.
It happened that those first years that we were all about the same age. In that, what you say, childbearing age.
Okay. Okay.
And we used to sit, our families with the little kids, sit behind the player's bench or the wrestler's bench. That was where we sat, the spouses. But Carl Hein, he was there. He may not have been there. Fork and Brock, yeah.
Was there?
Fork and Brock, oh my gosh, yes. How could I forget him?
Well, when I, he was, Forky was still there when I got there. And I always remember this. There was a, we made it, there was an addition that was put on for the ag shop and the motor guys. And then a few classrooms, and Forky had one of those classrooms, and one day I was going down in that area, and somebody said this, something smells like it's burning, and so I went down there, and there was Forky out in the hallway, and he put his pipe in his jacket and it caught fire.
I remember that.
So he didn't set off the fire alarm.
Wayne Thurm was another one.
Thurm, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we first were in West Dubuque, we couldn't come in the entrance because they weren't finished with the lunch stand or the
cafeteria.
And the gym, it must have just got the roof on because the gym was mud.
Yeah.
And so we had to come in the south entrance, had to bring our own lunch. And it was not uncommon for the contractors to come in during the class, working on the electricity or the lights or the heater over here, or during class.
Okay.
Yet you got so used to it, and the kids got used to it, you just
kept right on going.
Yeah.
So what subjects were you teaching then at that point?
Let's see. Well, that was, yeah, that West Dubuque, that was history. You know, and that was Latin.
You mentioned, Latin.
And geography.
Okay.
But then I got into the history. And Dave DeLurie and I and Mike Coffey, he had one or two classes. I had three classes of history.
Probably government class back there at some point. That's one of you guys probably took, I suppose.
Yeah, Dave had a government, and Mike had a government, and Mike also had German.
Okay.
And we had in the had that room with the curtain in between.
Yeah, okay.
And that really worked well for us. Dave and I usually had classes back-to-back, and sometimes we'd open it up, and he'd lecture, not lecture, and it was kind of funny. We'd have a faculty meeting once in a while, and some of the staff would get talking about so-and-so, and after class, after that meeting, Dave would say, don't you have him in class? Or I'd say to Dave, don't you have, you know, and we didn't have any trouble. We didn't know if they were talking about this person or not, yeah. But they knew when they came in that door.
Yeah.
That's what it was. So, yeah, we were there till 77 was my last year there.
Okay.
And so, we volunteered to run the clock or okay. keep score.
Yeah.
And now, of course, I guess for years they got paid for that, but
yeah.
The one I remember, I was running the clock, we were playing Cascade, and Marshall.
Al Marshall, yep.
And I'm sitting here at the end of the scores table, and Al and Cascade players are this way, and Carl Hine is sitting next to me, and Al's jumped up one time, and there was action under the basket on the right side, and he's pounding on the table, stop the clock, stop the clock. You don't stop the clock, because you stop the clock when the whistle blows. At halftime, he came up to the bench, and Carl said, you little son of a bitch, if you ever pound on this again, I'll kick your ass.
You're going to have to delay a little.
You know Al Marshall, so.
Oh, yeah, you know, and I interviewed Al Marshall for this project. He never mentioned that.
I wonder why. Oh, he was one that really could get excited those
yeah,
first
he was
years.
Young and inexperienced.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't say anything, but Carl just kind of put it to him.
Very plain.
So, but it was, you know, we just did it because you wanted to do it, you help out. And the same thing, we'd go to almost all the basketball games and the wrestling, and I said we'd all sit up there behind the team. And a lot of times after the match or after the game, we'd go to somebody's home and visit and maybe have a lemonade or Pepsi or something.
Sure. This is a strong recollection of mine was the back then it didn't matter if you were like I was coaching St. Joe's and but we'd get together afterwards regardless, you know,
right.
This fun get together young guys. So at one of the games at Epworth we went to Hermie's place and Mike Coffey was there and Hermie and whoever. Anyway, after we were finished, we walked out to the cars and Mike's car wouldn't start. And so they got to checking around, they opened up the hood and his battery was gone.
Really?
And so there was a guy, suspicious guy that lived next door by the name of Ace Green. And a couple of guys said, let's go check. That his porch is right there. So they did. He had 12 batteries on the floor of the porch.
Green?
Ace Green.
I didn't remember the name, but I remember Green being a trouble deal.
Okay. So I guess he retrieved his battery and... But anyway,
those were good times when we got together after the game or after the wrestling match. We were all about, as I said, about the same age, and all had little ones. And you know, before you know it, they curl up in some place and go to sleep. And those were years where, I guess even through the summer, I don't remember, but it seemed like there were about 8 or 9 of us, and we host it once a year.
Okay.
And
Al Eid was another.
Yeah, that's right. Al.
That's right.
Al Eid. We had a very good team.
Yeah. So anyway, that was, you continued with teaching the social studies through the 70s till you...
77, yeah. It was three classes in the morning, and then I'd come home at noon and farm.
Okay. So at some point, then at that point you decided to get out of education and...
Yeah, I got to the point where the work here at the farm was getting so much. We had so many cattle, and we had hogs too, and it just got to be so much that it was a challenge doing everything that needed to be done. And so I decided it was maybe time to just be a farmer.
Yeah.
But then, about that time, I got into the fair business, the Dubuque County Fair.
Yeah.
And then in, what, 83, the manager was killed in an auto accident, and they asked me to be manager.
Okay.
And at first we said no, but that was in the early 80s when interest rates were 17-18%.
Yeah, okay.
And I thought, I can do this. And I got income, and I'm familiar with the fair industry, and familiar with dances and 4-H and all the activities that we have out there, so I took the job as manager.
Would you like a Pepsi or 7-Up?
7-Up, be fine, yeah.
I'll have one of those too while you're in there. I think there's another one.
So that was early to mid 80s?
83 when I took on manager of the state fair, or the Dubuque County Fair.
Yeah.
Then in 85, a lady that represented Northeast Iowa on the fair board, state fair board, passed away. And I was fortunate to be appointed by the board to fill that position, and for the next 34 years I was on the state fair board.
Wow, okay. Thank you.
You want some ice?
No, this is fine.
There's no more 7-Up up here. Do you want a Pepsi?
Okay.
You can have half of this if you want.
Well, I'll go downstairs and get one.
No, whatever is in there.
Okay. Or there's root beer and orange too.
So, what were the, well, as far as experiences you had down at the state fair, was that like a whole week where you were there? And
actually, 16 days we were there. And we had, every board member had 2 rooms upstairs in the administration building.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We had a lady, 2 ladies come in, and they'd get breakfast and lunch for us, and then in the evening we'd go out and patronize our concessionaires.
Okay.
There was a kitchen upstairs that we used through the year when we were down every month for a meeting.
So you go once a month for meetings?
Once a month, yeah. Usually 2 days. And it was last December that I decided 34 years probably time to step aside before somebody says, what Fossum doing out here, you old man? Yeah. So we retired. I didn't run again. But that was quite an experience last year at the last convention. I was inducted into the Fair's Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And then the state fair had a farewell for us at that same night, so that, that evening was kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah.
But I think the experience of teaching for 20 years was very helpful, being involved in 4-H with our kids. Mm-hmm. And being involved in the state fair board with youngsters.
Right.
I was a liaison to 4-H and FFA for a good long while. And we had some issues with people misidentifying a steer, for example.
Oh, really? Okay.
Can you imagine that? Anyhow, we went to nose printing, and that was quite a change to that next fair when all the steers had nose prints, and then they were nose printed again at the fair.
Okay. And what's that process? How do they do that?
They put a black on the nose, and then put a over it, mm-hmm. and it comes out, and you can see when you compare them, it's just like, wow, they match.
Yeah. Okay.
So that prevented a lot of finagling going on. That first year we did nose printing, we had so many parents came up to me and thank you.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now it's equal. They can compete on a level basis with everybody else.
Right.
The year before, one guy that followed up and had a different steer was a state senator.
Wow.
A state senator.
Wow, jeez. What were some of the other issues you had to deal with, Paul?
At the fair?
Yeah.
Well, the hardest was dealing with people using illegal drugs in their animals. And then they'll say, well, we didn't do that, we didn't use that, and that's the hardest part. Mm. I found out that sometimes they would get feed from a commercial feeder or a commercial mill, and maybe somebody before that had used something in their mix and might have been some residue left. And
okay.
Those were the challenges when they were tested and came up positive.
So did you have to randomly test them, or?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
The champions were all tested, but then there were some that were randomly tested. And
how long did it take to do the testing and get the results?
Well, they would send it up to Ames and have it tested up there, and sometimes it was sent to another laboratory. But it wouldn't take very long at all. But it got to the point where the technology in testing it was so minute that you start thinking, where's the cutoff?
Okay.
I mean, it kept getting finer and finer and finer. And I mean, it could be from the wind. It could be.
Yeah.
So that, because of technology and testing, it got to be so fine that it really was a challenge. But we had 34 years of great experience on the State Fair Board.
That's great. Great stuff.
And we had to go down this year for a few days.
Did you?
But we rented these electric scooters.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we did.
Well, I remember the year that I think Fred Herbson contacted you And we came down, and you got us in the golf cart, and
yep.
went all the way around.
Up to the campground.
Yep. Like some people, they come down there and just stay for the week, right, as far as
oh yeah,
camping. And
those, the people in the campground, they come down the week before, and they, most of them don't pull out until Sunday afternoon or Monday.
Okay.
They've been there over 2 weeks.
Wow.
We would be there 16 days. Go down on Sunday and come home 2 weeks later on a Monday.
Okay.
But it was nice. It was nice to have the room, two rooms upstairs in the administration building. And
how many directors are there?
There are 12.
Okay.
There's six districts, and there's two from each district.
Okay.
And we're elected alternately, so one's elected 1 year, and one's the next year, 2 year term.
Okay.
So six are up for election 1 year, and then the other six are up the next year for a 2 year term.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your farming operation and what you've been experiencing.
Well, we were, we bought into Mary Ann's parents' cattle. In the first year we had three, and the next year we bought a few more and gradually built it up to the year I decided to start at the fairgrounds, Dubuque. We had about 125 cows.
Okay.
And we rented some work ground and rented some pasture. But with that 18% interest, we switched a little bit.
Okay.
And then for a long time, we would have probably about 60, 65 cows calving. Until just the past few years. And our son, Jim, all intention was to gradually take over. But he's had a back issue and finally decided he couldn't do this.
Okay.
So we've been scaling back. Right now we're at 25 cows, and we have two people that are interested in buying the cows this fall.
Okay.
We rent the ground out to the neighbor. I think they came in with the hay buying before, so I'm sure they're cutting some hay. So I was out mowing lawn this morning. That's about as much as I do anymore.
Okay.
I had an issue last summer. In May, I was down at the State Fair Board and wasn't feeling well when I got down there that Monday night. And I didn't get up right away, and they came calling for me, and I told them I wasn't feeling good, and anyhow, I missed showering and missed breakfast, and they came back, and board members. And I told them I wasn't well. Then I needed help. I was trying to get up to go to the bathroom, and I ended up on the floor between the bed and the chair, and I couldn't get up.
Okay.
They took me to Mercy in Des Moines and did the tests, did some exploratory surgery on my foot. I found out I had bone infection that started out from gout.
Oh, really? Okay.
Bone infection, and then I had sepsis.
Oh, that's not good.
That's not good. So I had surgery, and they removed the bone that was infected, and I was there 2 weeks. I came home the day after Memorial Day, And it was getting better all summer. I even raked hay that summer, first June. Went to the fair and had the doctor's approval. You can go to the fair. So we went to the fair 16 days. Came home on a Tuesday and went to the doctor's. And he took an x-ray of my foot and everything looked fine. The next morning I got up and I was extremely weak. And she called the ambulance and took me in on my birthday.
Okay.
I spent my birthday in ER and ICU.
Okay.
Had bone infection in the same bone.
Really?
And sepsis again. So they did surgery and removed the rest of the bone of the big toe. And oh, both times, we had to go into Mercy for every day for 6 weeks for antibiotics.
Okay.
So then we're getting better again, finally. And then I had a sore on my little toe, and the scab, I thought it was healing, and the scab came off, and it got swelling in my foot again, and went to the doctor. Dr.
Kepler,
foot doctor. And he took x-ray, and he sent me to Mercy for an MRI, and I had an infection in my little toe. But they got the antibiotics in soon enough so I didn't get sepsis this time.
Okay.
So this has been quite an experience.
Well, when we get to be our age, you know, it's, I mean, I thought, you know, I thought I was invulnerable, you know, and it was, you can't imagine how lucky a person could be, but the fall of 2010, I came down with pneumonia, pretty bad, was in the hospital. Well, while I was in the hospital, they did a number of procedures, x-rays, MRIs, and they found out that I had an aortic aneurysm to the point it was 9.5. Mm. And they said anything over 5, you could be gone, you know, like that. So I was somehow lucky I was to get the pneumonia to have that checked out.
Right.
And so they had the surgery and repaired the aneurysm, and so here I am, thankfully.
Did you have it in the surgery?
Yeah, I did. You know, back then it was, that would open you up and do the repair. Well, now all they do is put stents in, so there's no invasion of your vital organs.
Oh, it was, what, 6.5 years ago now. We were preg checking cows, and it was building up to a storm, and the cows, they sensed this, and they were not cooperating. But anyhow, it was stressful, and I fainted.